Let There Be Light. From Flashbangs and Frag Grenades. By Calchexis. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on League of Legends by Riot Games. Chapter 56. Who I am is where I stand.
Damn it!
Jinx shouted as she periodically unleashed bursts of HV rounds around the corner where they'd hunkered down amidst waves of gunfire and the occasional frag. The cadre had found a nice long hallway, rigged it with mines, and then dug in and set up a firing lane that not even Blondie's barriers could withstand for long enough to make any progress. It didn't matter that it was a death box for anyone inside, since there was no way out, and the bullets had to run out sometime. All that mattered was that it lasted long enough for Camille fucking Pharos to stick a swizzle straw into Janna's soul and suck her dry. Jinx bit down on the pin of one of her grenades, yanked it free, and hurled it down the hallway with her metal arm. Even with the extra oomph from her prosthetic, it barely made it to the edge of the entrenched cadre before detonating, showering their barricades with shrapnel but otherwise doing precisely squat.
"Anyone got any bright ideas?"
Jinx asked blithely.
"Maybe,"
Renata mused as she stroked her chin with her porcelain-like fingers.
"Can you disable the mines?"
Some of them, sure,"
Jinx replied, then looked to Lux.
"Blondie?"
Lux looked thoughtful for a moment, then nodded before saying, "It's Hextech, and I'm guessing they're proximity mines, right?" She looked to Jinx, who nodded. "Hextech is sensitive to the arcane. If I make a blast big enough to saturate the hall, it should fry most of them, and even destroy some, but it's a crapshoot. There's no guarantee that all of them will fry."
"I'll take out enough to even the odds,"
Jinx said, then looked to Renata.
"You got a plan, Glask?"
"I believe I do, if you can crack open that barricade."
"Can I crack a barricade?"
Jinx whipped around with Pow Pow's barrels already spinning and unleashed a hail of shots aiming for the glinting mines peppering the walls and floor of the hall. The explosions were deafening, filling the hall with shrapnel and smoke an instant before the snapping chorus of Tystals answered Jinx's belligerence only to deflect off of a bulwark of light that Lux projected in front of her wife at the last second. Every petrocyte late shot from downrange bit a chip out of it, though, and Jinx's mind spun out a timer that gave her seconds to do her job, and not many of them. Dropping to a knee, she let Pow Pow hit the floor, dragged up fish bones, and her gleaming cybernetic eye marked the target for her even through the fog of war. She sent the missile roaring down the hall just as the shield of light exploded into fragments, and Jinx swore as several shots pinged off of Fishbone's reinforced body and even her arm, with a couple punching in and out of her side as she rolled back into cover. The hall rocked as Fishbone's wrath spoke loud, cutting off the carbine fire long enough for Lux to keep up with both hands raised and let out a feral shriek as she unleashed an unstable, snarling knot of pure light like an orphaned comet to detonate dead center of the hall. Jinx tasted ozone as the arcane saturated the air all the way back to them, and she grinned around a mouthful of blood as she dragged herself upright while the sounds of mines going haywire and popping off like rockets filled the air. Lux was by her side a second later, fussing over the quickly healing wounds that were already sealing themselves up just as Renata stood and then bolted past them, making a straight run down the hall.
"Hey!"
Jinx scrambled up and looked around the corner in time to see Renata burst through the cloud of smoke and past a whole field of the fortunately fucked mines. But it wasn't going to be enough. She could see the cadre rallying. She saw them ordering themselves up after the combination flashbang and frag rocket. Renata wasn't going to get to the barricade before they started firing back. Apparently, she didn't need to. About two-thirds in, Renata dropped down, skidded along the ruined plates for a moment, and as she did, there was a sound like a mine vent opening. And a cloud of toxic purple gas erupted from her ornate rebreather. It spilled over the entrenched cadre, and Jinx relaxed as she realized what the Chem Baron's plan was. The moment that shit hit them, it was over. Return fire never came as Renata stood calmly, dusted off her mildly dirtied trousers, then looked up at the dumbly silent cadre garrison and said,
"Kindly kill each other, won't you?"
As one, they turned to each other, brought their carbines up, and fired until all of them were dead. It was a brutal staccato burst of violence, followed by a choking silence as Jinx, Lux, and the remaining Glasgardi crossed the hall carefully to join Renata. She stood over the lone living cadreman, His helmet was leaking from where it turned what ought to have been a lethal shot into a merely mortal one, but the narcotic fumes dulled all of that.
Excellent work,
Renata said as she raised her revolver.
Enjoy your retirement.
The revolver barked, and the cadreman slumped into death. That was risky, Luck said as she approached. You had no idea if I'd disabled anything like enough of the mines to allow you to break through. If I hadn't, we'd be gluing you back together.
Your concern is noted, but unnecessary,
Renata replied as she turned away from the pile of dead Chandra into the reinforced gate they'd been guarding.
Sir, I disagree,
Jinx muttered. Renata sighed as she ran her fingers over the heavy metal bulkhead, then said,
Yes, I'm certain she would. But as she is not here right now, then needs must. And right now I need you to blow this bulkhead and open our path. We're not far from the roof access, and every moment counts.
Rolling her eyes, Jinx muscled her way to the front and knelt before the door to examine it. It was a standard emergency seal, old school, which meant it wasn't part of the renovations. Stillwater was full of the things in case of a prison riot, and they were meant to section off whole parts of the prison. The thing was, they were meant to repel unarmed prisoners that barely got enough food in a week, not a heavily armored assault force armed with breaching charges, yet more proof that Camille had never really expected to be attacked here. Or at least that attackers would never get this far. Pulling out a couple of charges, Jinx got to work securing them at places where the fight had created structural weaknesses. It was the work of moments, and then she was up and moving back, gesturing for everyone else to do the same as she held up a makeshift trigger.
Hey, old lady,
Jinx said as they moved to a safe distance.
You know, Sarah's gonna want you alive after all this, right?
Yes, I know.
But, kinda seems to me like that's not plan A.
Renata turned to meet her black, pinned, and glowing eyes, and again, Jinx was struck by how little human there was left in her. Whatever there was, it was the part that was chasing Seraphine Glask, Jinx thought.
I will do what I must,
Renata said after a moment.
To save my wife. As I trust you would do for yours, Kemhart.
Jinx sighed as she looked back at Lux at her perfect golden light. Then turned back to Renata with a thin smile and said,
Well, I can't really argue with that.
Then she hit the trigger, and the bulkhead vanished. Stillwater shook with myriad detonations as Vi, Caitlin, and Jace moved slowly into the dark yard. Or what had once been the dark yard. Vi remembered it being largely an open space, looked down on by watchtowers fitted with guards that threw bets on the inmates they forced to fight for their amusement. It was blunt sports, pure and simple, and the next best thing to slavery. She'd ended more than one life fighting to stay alive in this hellhole. And the idea that she was going to be one of the people who cracked it down to its foundations tickled her. Now, though, the yard had been transformed into a mad scientist's laboratory. Thick cables ran like roots and vines up and down the walls to snake around the floor, eventually meeting at the center, where a device crackled with the arcane. The walls of the yard, which had once been bare, bloody steel, were now crowded with consoles, capacitors, and other Hextech gewgaws that did aspects know what, and what ought to have been an open space between them were more and more of those damn cables. What the hell? Jace stared at the machine and at the cables and braces surrounding it that ran up and up and up to disappear into the darkness above them. That's a freight lift. They converted the whole damn thing into a lift. Why? Caitlin asked. Why does it matter? Vi asked as she cycled up her gauntlets. We're just going to blow it. Hold on. Jace held up a hand and pointed at the center of the machine. See that? There's something set into it. Vi squinted down the line of Jace's finger and found herself looking at some kind of tube with a glassy window. Then it hit her, and her stomach dropped as more crackles and arcs of arcane spat and snapped around it.
Sarah, Vi hissed.
You!
A voice dripping with venom hissed from the shadows as a figure stepped out from around the leftmost side of the central machine. She wore the uniform blouse and trousers of Cadre black and brass, with a similar beret perched on her head over straight red hair that fell to her shoulders, and framed a face that might have been pretty if it hadn't been contorted with psychotic hate. Her eyes were inhuman, glowing red, and tracks of oil spilled down her cheeks like tears as she set her hand on the pommel of the delicate rapier at her hip, while her sensible, 3/4-inch, wide base pumps with rounded toes clicked on the metal flooring with every step. "Ren," Caitlin said softly. Ren Gleamspire shook her head as if not believing what she was seeing.
"You free? Really?"
she snarled.
"When Lady Ferris told me you were traitors, I could hardly believe it. That,"
she nodded at Vi,
"thing, I can understand. It had every opportunity to be a real person, but all that was proven is that a swine cannot rise above the filth it was born to wallow in. But you, Kiriman, working with your mother's murderer, and you, Talis, the man of progress, impeding it?"
"Just when I thought I couldn't hate her more," Vi muttered. "I wish I could," Caitlin whispered back as she brought her rifle up to aim at the mad Cadre officer. "But all I see is another one of Camille's victims." Vi grimaced, and despite herself, she felt a pang of sympathy for the ruined girl standing before her. All things aside, Caitlin had a point. Hell, Ren Gleamspire was barely 20, and her entire life had probably been defined by her traitor dad, Marcus. Everything she'd ever done and would ever do was under the shadow of the man who had sold out Piltover to Silco, because without him, none of this would have happened. Without old Marcus's greed and corruption, Silco would never have been able to gain anything close to the kind of control he needed to create the glorious nation of Zaun. Vi wondered if somewhere deep down Ren knew that. "What you're doing," Chase said, stepping forward, "is beyond the pale of progress. This isn't progress. This is a crime against everything good. You have to see that. You can't look at this," he gestured at the machine, "and truly think that this is good, can you?" Rand's expression flattened.
"The only good is as my lady says and does. The only evil what she condemns."
She drew her rapier with a funereal rasp and pointed it at them.
"I am Ren Gleamspire, and I am the righteous blade of progress, and you, all of you, are nothing less than pure evil."
"Wow," Vi whispered. "And I thought Piltover was bad before."
"Die!"
Ren surged forward like a lightning bolt, and Vi swore as she barely managed to get her guard up. The Hextech barrier of her gauntlet erupted around her just in time to absorb the shock of the blow, as the tip of Ren's rapier sent every gauge on her gauntlet from green into overstressed red. Behind her, Caitlin spat an oath and backpedaled, snapping off a shot that should have taken Ren between the eyes, but which was cut out of the air in a flicker of motion. From her right, Jace turned, his armor flaring blue as power-assisted servos accelerated his movements to nearly Ren's speed. Vi did the same, and from the hum and snap of Hextech behind her, so did Caitlin. Their armor was the product of two geniuses who had together created Hextech. It wasn't perfect, they hadn't had time for perfect, and it wouldn't last forever, but aspects willing, it would last long enough. Long enough to fight back, long enough to compare to the absolute depths of humanity that Camille and her Cadre had sunken to in the pursuit of progress. All the world seemed to slow except for Ren, Jace, and Caitlin. Vi moved faster and sharper than she ever had as Ren loosed a flurry of thrusts that had gone from blinding speed to merely absurd. Even with the power assist and Jace backing her up, Vi barely managed to avoid or deflect the strikes. Nothing so slight and slender as Ren Gleamspire had any right to hit that hard, and that was with one hand. There was a sound like ripping leather as Ren's left arm split apart, shredding the sleeve of her blouse and jacket as the limb opened like a grotesque flower of flesh and metal to reveal an implanted blade just in time to cut another shot from Caitlin out of the air. There were three of them, three gods-damned champions of the Rift, and they were barely fighting back. Vi struck out, steam belching from her gauntlet pistons as she swung an uppercut at Ren's gut, but the first of the 105th caught the blow on the flat of her blade and simply rode the momentum in an acrobatic flip over Vi's head. Another shot rang out, and there was a sharp ping and a whisper of steel bare inches from the base of her skull that told her Caitlin had probably just literally saved her neck with a pinpoint shot. Wren landed behind her and cut another shot out of the air with a contemptuous flick of her wrist as Vi powered forward.
Get Sarah!
Vi shouted as Jay started to back her up. Vi's fusillade of punches was deflected, evaded, or even bashed aside by Wren's raw mechanical might, her limbs moving and twisting unnaturally to open angles of defense and attack that no mortal with a functional skeleton could hope to emulate.
But me and Cupcake have got this!
Vi gasped as she revved her gauntlets again. Go do your damn job, pretty boy! There was no time to argue. Thankfully, Jace didn't try. His heavy servo-accelerated footsteps burst away from them and Wren let out a shriek of animal rage as she made to pursue. Vi didn't give her the chance, and neither did Caitlin. A dull thump sounded, and Wren jerked out of the way with precognitive speed as a steel-cabled net flew between them. As it rocketed past, Vi fired her pistons and launched herself forward fist first, only for Wren to cross her blades and catch the attack full on. The piston-powered charge drove her backward, leaving streaks of black from her shoes in a skid over the floor.
Filth!
Wren shrieked.
Pig! Swine! Bucky animal!
She battered Vi away with a brutal double cross, followed up with a flurry of swings. Vi boosted her barrier, but it wasn't anything like enough. The petricite-lined weapons Wren wielded chipped, bit, and cut through what should have been an unbreakable shield like it was made of tin. Only Caitlin's constant rack and fire was keeping Vi alive as Wren was routinely forced to abandon certain kills to avoid getting domed by high-caliber sniper fire, but the fact that she could just cut the damn bullets out of the air was unreal.
Call me a pig, Vi snarled, but you're not even human!
I'm better!
Wren screamed. In a moment of frothing hate, Wren lunged with her rapier, and its petricite tip popped the overstressed barrier like a soap bubble. Vi barely had time to swear as she caught the blades in her gauntlet and fired the pistons again, forcing the grip strength to increase by an order of magnitude. There was a deafening scream of metal on metal as Wren's inhuman synthetic muscle drove it through Vi's grasp. Now it was Vi's turn to be driven back as she was nearly plucked from her feet by the force of her opponent's charge and sent skidding backward as she tried in vain to arrest the thrust. It wasn't enough. Despite everything, the rapier's blade carved a furrow in her metal fingers, making just enough room to punch through her armor. The tip drove half an inch deep into her flesh before the force was finally too much for even that over-engineered blade. It didn't so much snap as it did explode as the pent-up kinetic force splintered the weapon and sent the shards flying with the force of a frag grenade, blowing the two women apart as Caitlin screamed her name. Jerking the fractured tip out from between her ribs, Vi scrambled to her feet and threw the remnant aside just as Wren ratcheted upright like a marionette and tossed the basket hilt of her rapier away. The hilt barely left her right hand before it too split apart, ripping her other sleeve as the second of her implanted blades flowered outward and a series of geometric lines beneath her body began to glow an angry red.
I, Wren hissed, am going to eviscerate you!
Sighing, Vi put up her fists.
Then come on. I can do this all day.
The sound of battle filled Jace's ears as he stopped in front of the central casing of the machine and swept a hand over the fogged window. A touch told him it wasn't truly glass, but some kind of transparent metal, and behind it was the ragged but living form of Seraphine Arctura. As fast as his body was moving, his mind still moved faster. A quick glance at the machine told him that in no uncertain terms, he couldn't break this thing open without killing the occupant and probably everyone in the room. The sheer amount of power being channeled through this machine was absolutely unreal. Even if he didn't have the technical know-how to evaluate it, he'd still know it because he could taste it. There was so much arcane in the air around this machine that it was palpable. And the only reason it hadn't already exploded was because it was being channeled elsewhere. Up, he thought. But if this was the machine, then where was the control console? Most of the consoles lining the walls weren't the type that needed to or even could be interacted with. They were just there to process the mammoth amount of data necessary to safely transmit this level of power from one place to another, but there had to be a hub, a master control. Jace raced around the other side, and only his innate barrier saved his life as a shadow made of knives pirouetted out of the dark on bladed legs to very nearly cut his head from his neck.
Former Counselor Talus,
Orianna chirped in greeting. Orianna, Jace stepped back as his shield flickered, having barely deflected the attack.
Please, you were one of us, don't do this!
Orianna hesitated for a moment, then cocked her head and said,
I am afraid I do not have a choice. in accordance with my new programming, you must be decommissioned.
You're not a bot, Oriana. You're a person. You've got a heart, damn it!
Jace readied his hammer even as he spoke and raised it between them.
I am sorry, former Counselor Talus,
she said as she lowered her leg and raised a hand, bringing her sphere up to float beside her in deadly threat.
But I am afraid one requires more than a good heart to repel the will of evil.
Jace let out a hollow chuckle as he recharged his shield.
Yeah, he said quietly. I guess you're right.
In the corner of the room, Corin Revic watched as what was left of his daughter dueled with Jace Talus. They were moving so fast that his old eyes couldn't keep up with them. But he was old enough and had seen enough to know that the Man of Progress was not winning. Despite the horrors inflicted on her, Corin could at least appreciate the abominable genius that went into the construction of Oriana's new body frame. And it was beyond anything in the Cadre. She wasn't as outright deadly as that mad dog Gleamspire, but there was something else to her that made her even more dangerous in a way. And there was an artistry to her movements and her fighting that Camille's red-headed monster could not possess. And it was that beauty which was driving Jace back. Moments, then. He had only moments. And not even that. Turning to the console, he began tapping out sequences that would condemn him and his daughter. Too late had he come to understand that he should never have acquiesced to Camille's demands, not even for his daughter. What he had done had condemned him more thoroughly than any death, and stained his soul beyond redemption, and he could no longer tell himself that it was for her sake. He couldn't do this to his child any longer. He could not allow his little girl to remain a slave to a monster, fated to forever perform monstrous acts while caged within the prison of her own mind. It was the purpose of a parent to sacrifice for their child. And he had thought that working for Camille was that sacrifice, but no. No. This had been vanity. This had been fear. His hand shook as he flipped switches and altered the power flow. The process had already begun and could not be stopped, but he could slow it down. He could change the rules of the game, even if only a little. He could buy them time to steal the prize right out from under that metal demon's nose, and all it would cost him was...
Oriana, no!
Shunk. 5 bladed fingers protruded from his chest, and blood filled his throat to spill from between his lips and down his chin and front as Corin tightened his fingers around the final lever, then turned his head to look over his shoulder at the unchanging face of his daughter.
Father,
Oriana said, her voice glitching out in a facsimile of grief as her mechanical eyes widened.
Why did you make me?
Corin used the last of his strength to pull the lever down with a final clunk.
I'm so, so sorry, my dear. Forgive your old man this last act of defiance.
He slumped back into her arms, head resting on her shoulders.
I pray you will be free. After this, one way or another.
Together they collapsed to the ground as, behind them, the freight lift holding the central machine began to rise far, far too early. But Corin couldn't focus on that. All he could focus on was his daughter, who was holding him close and shaking, unable to even cry, with one hand plunged into his back. And the other cradling him.
I wish, Corin whispered, I could have seen you dance again.
And then darkness took him, and Corin Revic died.
The text of this story is available on AO3. Music by Dot Matrix. If you would like me to record a story, voice over a character, get in touch using the contact information available on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find other stories that I've read, as well as a link to my Discord server. where I record things live for your enjoyment. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.